He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you for taking time to join us as we take time to learn from God's Word together. The message you are about to hear comes from the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Listen to more sermons or learn more about the church at our website, capenazarene.org.
Good morning. So this morning we're going to be looking at Hebrews in chapter 12. Throughout my message, we'll read a little bit of the chapter, and then I'll speak, and then we'll read a little bit more, and then a little bit more. So bear with me as we are constantly going back to the Word this morning. I wanted to start out today telling you a little story that I thought you folks would appreciate where you live here in Cape Elizabeth near SMCC. My husband and I, probably 5 or 6 years ago, maybe longer now, we participated in the color run that happens in like all around SMCC. And we participated because my husband's coworkers were forming a team and they wanted a couple more people on their team because you register and it's a little bit cheaper if you register as a team. So we decided to do the color run, and I have to tell you, I hate running. So the thought of doing a race and doing this, it's a 5K, so it's not even very long. Just the thought of that, I was not very excited about. But my husband talked me into it because of the fun factor of the run. And so you have people along the way who are spraying you with colored cornstarch. And so you walk away from this event with like a blue ear and like yellow head and, you know, pink on your shoulder and green on your leg. Like, it's just, you're just a mess by the end. But it was a lot of fun. And those times when you're running through the places where they're spraying you, you're trying to get through there as fast as you can. And so it was just a lot of fun. My husband and I laughed a lot during the race. Well, starting out at the beginning of the race, I had trained, and so I was ready to run this race. And we started out with the crowd, and they shot off the gun, and we started running. And very quickly into it, I did not want to run anymore. I was like, I would rather walk or jog this 5K. And my husband really wanted to run it, and so his coworkers, they like took off running. And he was really sweet, and he did not take off running with his coworkers. He stayed behind and kept my pace throughout the race. And sometimes he would run ahead a little bit and then run back to me, kind of was like, you know, doing that running circles around you. But throughout the race, he was celebrating with me that we completed the race. And all along, he was rooting me on and cheering me on, even though I didn't go quite as fast as he wanted. Well, by the end of the race, it was time to go home. And so we live right now near Red's Ice Cream, which is dangerous. But we used to live over by SMCC, right across the street from the Boys and Girls Club. And so the day of this race, we just walked down to the race. So after the race was over and we had, you know, we were tired, we had already exercised, we still had to walk home. And so we walked all the way home. And I was wearing running shorts that had a little pocket on the inside of the shorts that could hold your key, right? Or your chapstick or whatever. My key for our apartment was in that pocket when I left for the race. And when we returned from the race, the key was not in my pocket anymore. And we had been all around that neighborhood. And so we ended up having to wait for our landlord to come and let us back into our apartment. And so after running this race and kind of giving in to my needs during the race, then my husband had to furthermore suffer as we had to wait for about an hour for our landlord to come and let us in. So we were quite the sight laying on our the front porch, covered in color that by this time was mixed with sweat that no longer looked like bright pink and beautiful. It was like brown, and it was kind of gross. And so in all of that, my husband he endured quite a lot that day by supporting me. But we walked away from that with lots of funny memories and things we can look back on and laugh about now. Let's transition into God's word. Let's read in Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read for you verses 1 through 3. God's word says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning in its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Well, Jesus, when he entered the scene, when his ministry began, he was not welcomed in the way that we would have expected the King, the Savior, to be welcomed. He came on to do work and began healing people, and some of the first people that he healed and the first miracles that were performed, the religious leaders at the time, they were not happy. Jesus was healing people on the Sabbath. There were things that he was doing that the people of that time that were in charge of the church, they did not think it was okay for him to be doing that. They didn't understand what Jesus was there to do. They did not thank him for healing the sick man that had been sitting near the pool of Bethesda for his whole life. They didn't thank him for that. But as Jesus went on with his ministry, that did not deter him from continuing to heal the sick, from continuing to do the work that God had called him to do, that God had sent him here to do. So just like a dedicated runner as they're going through a race, the writer of Hebrews is giving us an exhortation to continue to run the race and to run it with endurance like Christ. Have any of you folks ever heard of an ultra marathon? Has anybody ever heard of an ultra marathon? Okay, an ultra marathon, it is a grueling 543.7-mile endurance race that happens in Australia. It now is becoming more popular to happen around the world. But this one race happened. It was the longest and toughest ultra marathon in the world. And in 1983, about 150 world-class runners gathered in Sydney for this event. Well, on the day of this race, a toothless 61-year-old sheep herder and potato farmer named Cliff Young, he approached the registration table along with all of the other runners. At first, the people that were there to watch the race, they thought, this can't be true. What is this man doing? He's not really in, you know, the registration line for this race. He approached the registration table, and he declared that he would like to participate in the race. He had grown up on a farm without the benefits and luxuries of horses and four-wheel drive vehicles to do the farming. And so when he was a young child, when the storms would come in, he had to run the 2,000-acre farm that his family owned. And some days it would take him, some storms, it would take him 2 or 3 days of running to gather all of the sheep back to come back in because of the storm. And so he had grown up running in the fields. Well, the staff who were running the race, they were not very impressed with him, but they issued him number 64 of the paper that you wear when you're running. They gave him a number, and he was mingling with the other runners as the race was getting ready to begin, and people were kind of snickering and laughing and like, what is this man doing? What does he think? This must be a joke. And when the gun went off, when the race began, bystanders, they started laughing because Cliff Young, he had shown up in his work overalls and his big galoshes boots. And he was going to run the race alongside all of these world-class runners who were there in their running shorts and their, you know, very expensive sneakers that would get them through the race. And he showed up like he was getting ready to go to work out on the farm. And people, they just began laughing at him. Not only for what he was wearing, but when he started running, he didn't take off running like you see runners do on a race, and they do a very quick pace. His pace can only be described as a leisurely, odd shuffle. And so people sat in their homes watching this race and saw him start running. And I'm going to demonstrate because it's kind of funny. And you can't even really explain it except by demonstrating it. So he started running, and it was like, it was like, right? Just very slow, very slow. And this kind of odd lumbering way of running. And some of the people, they must have thought, someone should stop this crazy old man before he kills himself trying to run this over 500-mile race. Let's look back to chapter 12 of Hebrews. I will finish the story. In verses 4 through 11. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son. It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Well, this central section of scripture that we're looking at today clarifies and talks about how God disciplines his children. And he compares it to a father or a mother disciplining their children. In the time that this was written, the Hebrews who would have been reading this scripture, the primary responsibility for establishing discipline belonged to the father. God held the father accountable for the instruction and correction of his children in that culture. A father disciplined his child precisely because he loved him and desired for him to experience life as God had intended it and how God had called them to live. The goal of divine discipline is to bring God's children into spiritual maturity. God calls us to lives of discipline to prepare us so that we can share in his holiness. Well, when my daughter, many of you know my daughter, she's been here before. She will be turning 10 in about 2 weeks, which I can't even believe that she'll be 10. When she was very little, she used to throw huge temper tantrums. And it didn't happen all the time, but it did happen. And God, he trusted Aaron and I to raise her and discipline her and teach her how to be a well-behaved child so that she can grow in holiness unto the Lord. And so one day when she was about 3 years old, her favorite store to go to was A.C. Moore, the craft store. So we were at A.C. Moore and we were looking for some craft supplies. And often we would put her in the cart when we went shopping so that she wouldn't grab things off of the shelves. Well, this time she asked if she could walk through the store. We told her yes, but she had to keep her hands to herself. And as we were going through, she grabbed something that she wanted and she put it in the cart. And we told her, well, we're getting this other craft activity for you, we're not going to get what you just put in the cart. So we took it out of the cart and put it on the shelf. Well, then she was not pleased with that decision. And so she threw herself on the floor of A.C. Moore and began screaming that we were going to buy it for her. And my husband was not going to have this. And so he he picked her up, and it was like she was a board in his arms. So he's holding her, and she was laying perfectly straight across his arms, still screaming, but just holding herself perfectly straight. And he proceeded to walk out of the store carrying our screaming three-year-old. Like, it was hilarious. So he's leaving, and he's like, you continue shopping, we'll be in the car. I was like, okay. So there were a lot of other people at the store at this time, and so the line that he had to walk by of middle-aged women also purchasing craft supplies, they were all looking at him like, what'd you do that child? I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, she's fine. So they went out to the car, and I thought, you know, she'll settle down, it'll be fine. So I continue shopping. I get out to the car. Come to find out, she has, when they got to the car, my husband opened the door and he tried to put her in the car, and she wouldn't bend to go in the car. And so he stood her on the ground right outside the car, and he was like, okay, like, well, wait, you can get in the car when you're ready. And she didn't get in the car, and it was about this time of year. So you know what parking lots are like in this gross wintry spring time. And she sat down on the parking lot and started scooting herself all around on her bottom on the parking lot, still screaming. And my husband just stood there, and he's like, what is wrong with you? This is crazy. And so he waited for her to calm down, and finally she calmed down, and he put her in the car, and we had a nice little chat, as much as you can with a three-year-old, to reason with them of this is not the behavior. Part of that was that she didn't get anything at that trip to the store. What we were going to get, we didn't get. And it stuck with her, even though she was only three, that in subsequent visits to the store, if she would start to kind of, I want this, and I would remind her, and I'd say, do you remember what happened when we went to A.C. Moore and you had to go out to the car with Dad? She's like, yeah, I didn't get anything. I was like, exactly. You're not going to get anything if you behave that way. And so it helped her in the long run, even though that was a little difficult as a parent to tell your three-year-old, can't have anything at this time. But God trusted us to discipline her for her good. And she's a better person for it, of not throwing these temper tantrums as an almost 10-year-old. Let's look back at the last couple of verses this morning in Hebrews chapter 12. It says in verses 12 to 14, it says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Well, after 5 days and 15 hours and 4 minutes, Cliff Young came shuffling across the finish line. He had completed the ultramarathon. He had not only completed the ultramarathon, he won the ultramarathon. The nearest runner was 9 hours and 56 minutes behind him. The Australians, they were stunned at this remarkable, yet seemingly impossible victory. They thought, how did this happen? How did he shuffle all the way through this race and win? Well, everyone else knew that the runners would run for about 18 hours a day, and then they would stop, and they would sleep for about 6 hours. Then he'd get back up and run for 18 hours. But no one told Cliff that he could stop and sleep and rest. So he just shuffled along day and night, night and day, without stopping to sleep. He broke all the previous ultramarathon world records that day by 9 hours. And overnight, he became a national hero, shuffling across the finish line. Interestingly, professional runners, they began studying this way of running. And like, is there something to it? Like how he could run for that long. And they have now adopted this, his style of running is now called the Young Shuffle. And due to its aerodynamic and energy efficiency. Well, just like Cliff, as he, and I don't understand it any more than what I have shared as far as the science of the run, but just how Cliff, he slowly and steadily ran and was able to run for all of that time, which seems impossible, that God's word today is speaking to us that there's a necessity for endurance in our lives. And this appeals to all of us in our struggles, that God is calling us to this kind of slow and steady endurance throughout our lives of being faithful to him and trusting that God's going to be there for us, that God doesn't call us when we're saved to sprint through life and to try to get to the finish line, because really it's not done until we go to heaven. And so just this, he calls us to this slow and steady, enduring walk with him. Like I said, the Christian life is not a 100-yard dash to see how quickly we can get through things, to see how fast we can perfect our faith. But the Christian life is a marathon. It's important for us to, like in short distances, then speed is important. But in long distances, endurance is what leads to success. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we reflect on his word. If you are here this morning and you don't know the Lord, and you would like to begin running that race with God, I encourage you this morning to submit that to the Lord. And maybe you're just starting to run the race with God, and you began by sprinting, but now you're beginning to feel fatigued, and you're beginning to wonder how you're going to continue on, how you're going to make it through this life. Or maybe you've been running this race for a very long time, and you've now learned to take it slow and easy. Wherever you find yourself along the marathon of life today, let us remember that victory comes through endurance. We need to stick with the race and lean upon the Lord to sustain us. And God, we trust you that you are going to be with us. Lord, we lay this at your feet this morning. God, that life can sometimes feel like we're going nowhere or feel like everything is bombarding us at once. But Lord, you have called us to lean upon you, that each day we just wake up and continue to trust in you, continue to lay it at your feet. And Lord, as we continue to do that and as we continue to endure along this race of life, God, we trust and know that you are going to sustain us. You're going to be there for us. So Lord, we just lift this up to you today and thank you for your word. In your name, amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God richly bless you as you serve him today.